We headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We are back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hockensmith and Greg Pickle back here one more time from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We heard a good bit from James Franklin earlier. We're going to hear a little bit more from him now. Looking at the bye week, he spoke Wednesday of last week to reporters, just talking about the themes and that kind of thing, answering questions from the bye week. One of the things that you tend to maybe forget about or lose sight of is that a bye week is not an off week for anybody. You know, you might be afforded some extra luxuries as an assistant coach to get up a little later in the morning, maybe, instead of like, 2:30, it's 2:45, you're right. Getting up. But otherwise, it is business as usual, just a different kind of business. So here's what James Franklin had to say about recruiting and how that fits into all this.
Yeah, so we're leaving tonight. Most of us are all leaving tonight. Getting out of here either on planes, trains, automobiles, out of here. And then we're all kind of scrambling to get back here either Friday night or Saturday morning because Saturday is our Sunday practice. So, that's the challenge is, you got to be at the games on Friday night that you want to be at. And then get back here for Saturday morning practice. And then I'm going back out Saturday after practice to get to some Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening games as well. A lot of people look at the bye week as, downtime. I wouldn't necessarily describe it that way for the coaches. We did, the coaches were able to come in a little bit later in the mornings to take your kids to school type of deal. But besides that, not a whole lot of change.
So as he's talking, Greg, one of the first things I think of is that helicopter. What was it? I was a couple years ago where yes. I was like, oh, he showed up in a helicopter, like it's a power move. And it's like, yeah, there's probably some of that to it. But when you hear him describe getting two football games on Friday night, getting back to State College to do practice and stuff Saturday morning, and then back to more football games Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, depending on how ambitious you want to get with that schedule, which in his case, super ambitious about everything all the time, you can see, how hectic it is, and you can see the need for that kind of stuff if you want to, hit all the games you want to hit in a weekend.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's not easy to get to, to see as many of your commits as possible and then also come back. And the reason they changed their practice schedule is, of course, the Friday night game. So when they have that bye later in the season, I think it's November, first weekend of November, they'll do their normal routine. The coaches will be out Saturday recruiting. They'll practice on Sunday. They'll have Monday off and they'll get back into it then on Tuesday. But with this week, obviously the Friday night game speeds things up a good bit. And because of that, they have to jump in there and get practicing on Saturday to stay on their normal schedule. So they're off Sunday. They practice then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, obviously Thursday. They'll, could be pretty much walk through, and then Friday they play. So, recruiting element of it is certainly an important one as well. You have to get out and see as many guys as you can. Sometimes, Dustin, you're going to focus your time on the commits you currently have. Sometimes you're going to focus on guys who are uncommitted but deciding soon. I have to think that Penn State's coaches made a priority to swing into Norfolk, Virginia and see Keandre Lambert, the four-star receiver who's announcing October 4th. It's a tight one, man. Virginia Tech, Clemson, Penn State seem to be the finalists there, and it's a heck of a battle to see who can land him. Penn State, of course, would love to have him in this class. But, yeah, they got back in for practice Saturday, and then they got back out on the road again Saturday night. So no rest for the slightly less weary this week.
Yeah, life as a college football coach is not for the faint of heart. We mentioned earlier Penn State, confirming and talking about doing the HBO behind-the-scenes show, College Football 24/7. Here's what James Franklin had to say about why they're doing it.
Yeah, in a discussion really for the last 3 years, after talking to people from other programs that did it, they felt like it was a positive. And then the other thing is for us with the unrivaled show that we already do, the cameras are already around all the time. So between the coaches and the leadership council, we didn't really feel like it'd be a whole whole lot different than what we already do. I'm not going to get into what other programs, but obviously it's an opportunity to get our program out there on a national scale and allow people to maybe see behind the curtain a little bit.
Is there any question that the most truthful thing he said about that, not that it wasn't lies or anything, but the most honest part of that was getting out there on a national scale?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, that's the benefit of it.
It's a huge benefit. I mean, it's a free recruiting tool, essentially. I mean, you're going to have a chance for all these little social media clips, all these little updates and a show that showcases your program. Now, if you would lose to Purdue, maybe that is not as good of a thing as you wanted it to be. But yeah, I think it's fascinating. I think it's a great opportunity for the program to really showcase some behind the scenes things, some of the personalities of the players and coaches and things you just don't see on a normal basis. And you get to give it to a national audience at that.
And it is a benefit to people to be able to look behind the curtain somewhat and see what these interactions are like, see what the players are like. You know, football is such a weird sport because you can't really even feel like you get to know any of them because they're all dressed like gladiators out there. You don't see their faces very much except when they're on the sidelines. Yep. So, you know, the intimacy of the sport, I think, is lacking on occasion because you just can't make that personal connection with kids and helmets.
Right.
To circle back to on a football note, the defense and the pass rush. I was curious what he was going to have to say coming out of Pitt when he admitted after the game he probably wanted to see a little bit more from that pass rush. Here's what he had to say last week.
Yeah, I think overall we've done some good things. I think there's been times where we've played at a really high level. I think inside the 10-yard line, we have played phenomenal. There's been flashes, but there's also been flashes of inconsistency, and that could go back to Ben's question as well, rotating a lot of guys in there. At this stage, I probably would have thought that the defensive line would have been a little bit more disruptive, especially from a sack perspective and a pressure perspective. I also do know that people are spending a lot of time in keeping guys in to chip more than before, but I like where we are. I think we got a chance to be pretty good. I have a lot of confidence in our D-line. I got a lot of confidence in our defense as a whole. But I probably would have thought, you know, we maybe would be a little bit more disruptive and a little bit more consistent. We've showed it in flashes. We could be more consistent.
So I think needless to say, Greg, through 3 weeks, that's not the ideal statement that you would hear James Franklin say about a group that, you know, most of us expected to be a real strength. And it definitely still can be. But to not get pressure against Pitt is something I'm curious what they do about that and how they come out against Maryland, because I think this is a matchup where there's potential here for this defensive line to implode everything Maryland wants to do up front. Maryland's shaky up front. You would love to see a dominant performance from this group.
They're so close, right? I mean, how many times was Shaka Toney within an arm's length? And Etor was a couple times. I think Shane Simmons was a couple times. I mean,
you give a lot of credit to Kenny Pickett because
he got the ball out of his hands. Yep. Yeah, he was slippery and he got the ball out of his hands. But, you know, the other side of that is, and this goes back to, I think, one of the things that's been maybe one of the more frustrating phrases of the James Franklin era, when he talks about, well, the other team had a plan and they really executed it well. And, you know, it goes back to the same old thing, sort of. And obviously it hasn't cost him a game yet. But, you know, and he just kind of mentioned it there. Well, teams are staying in and chipping more. Well, that's fine. Figure out a way around it. That's just why you watch all this film. That's why you self-scout during a bye week and break down your tendencies during a bye week. If you're going to be a Big Ten title contender again, if you're going to try and get into the college football player for the first time, you better make sure your plan is better executed and better thought out than the other team's plan. And it just feels like on far too many occasions, Dustin, we're in this conversation where we're talking about what another team did to take away one of Penn State's strength, as opposed to what Penn State did to make sure one of its biggest strengths could not be taken away. So I think, I don't know if he was challenging his defensive line there, but I do think that it's quite clear that they have a mission now to go out and try to rack up a few more sacks than they have so far this season.
I think it absolutely was a challenge. I thought Pat Narduzzi, this is just a little aside, saying that Penn State's secondary was its weakness was probably going right after Lamont Wade, right? Like, maybe he's right. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's right. Like, relative to the D-line, relative to the linebackers, maybe the secondary is a weakness. But it's all kind of relative because I think all those groups are pretty good. All right. about where we expected on the offensive line to flip the script and go on the other side of the ball. Here's what James Franklin had to say about what that group is doing through 3 weeks.
Yeah, I would say about where we expected. We've had a few flashes of inconsistency, but there's been times where I think we've been pretty good. I think the other aspect that factors in, I think a lot of times the O-line, it shows up when you're talking about protection, but some of that last week was our running backs as well. So it's all of it. But yeah, I'd like to, you know, obviously you'd like to have your O-line be dominant. You'd like to have your D-line be dominant week in and week out. We're not there yet, but I think we're headed closer in that direction.
All right, so they're headed in the right direction. It implies, obviously, you know, progress from preseason to now. Are you seeing the kind of progress that James Franklin is intimating there on the offensive line?
I think
it's a tough evaluation through 3 weeks.
I think the jury's still out and we have to see more. I mean, I think that there were instances where Penn State's offensive line has pushed guys around and looked like the kind of unit that they need to look like. And then there's instances where they can't seem to get any push at all. And some of it goes back to there being the factors outside of, what Penn State's offensive line is doing. Sometimes the running backs aren't giving them enough help. Sometimes Sean Clifford's holding on to the ball too long. Sometimes the play calls aren't necessarily getting the offense in rhythm, and that's not helping the line establish things. Sometimes they're caught with two guys blocking one and one guy coming free. So it's been a little bit of all the things we've seen over the last 6 years, some good, some bad, some ugly. And this is a good test, I think, this week to see if, they can put together a four-quarter performance that you're not going to make. Every series isn't going to be perfect. Every drive's not going to be perfect. It's college football. Things happen. But, I do think that there's progress being made. Yeah, maybe not as quickly as you might want to see it, though.
I think this is one area where Pitt might have laid the blueprint for some other teams to approach Penn State. They threw a lot at Penn State. They threw extra bodies. They threw blitzers. There were stunts. They played a brand of football where, they're playing press man coverage on the outside, so quick throws are taken away. They were uniquely positioned to carry out that game plan, but I think it showed something that Penn State needs to work on and address between, the guys up front and cycling through these running backs and making sure that they're up to the task of picking up blitzers. I would not be surprised at all if you saw pressure be part of, opponents' game plans for the foreseeable future until Penn State proves it can pick that up and still move the ball accordingly. So there you go. That's this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to check us out at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating, oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.